First Peter chapter 2. And I will probably be here for a few Sundays. First Peter chapter 2. Let me just read several verses to kind of get so we can have a little picture of the context here. Wherefore, that is because of what God has done for us. That's the last part of chapter 1. That we were born again. Born again by Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then moved to believe on Christ through the gospel. Yes, wherefore, that is because of that. Because of what he just said. Laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. That's what we ought to do. We don't. Yeah. But that's what we ought to do. But the thing about it is, just because you don't doesn't mean you quit trying.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Even when you know you can't do this as it ought to be done, it doesn't mean you stop trying.
Exactly.
So let's go on. As newborn babes, that is as newborn babes. He's not saying you are newborn babes, but as a newborn babe would do.
Yeah.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Then he makes this statement, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
Because if you haven't,
yeah,
that command is just too much for you.
Yeah.
Just too much for you. To whom coming, that is the Lord, this gracious Lord, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Notice the juxtaposition here. Disallowed indeed of men,
oh, yes,
but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, notice not living stones, but lively. That
yeah,
would a living stone, that would be intrinsic. Here's a stone who has intrinsic life.
Exactly.
But ye as lively stones, that is stones who have been brought to life.
Yes.
That would be the difference there. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, and it is clearly qualified by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. So Peter saying this is no new thing. This is not something Peter has come up with. Okay? Not something Peter decided. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
The better word there, because we think of confounded of being confused.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about being, let me tell you, I don't care if you've been a believer for years, there's still going to be some things you will be confused about. That's not the point here. It's whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Exactly.
Ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. That's why they stumble.
Yes, sir.
Being disobedient. But why are they disobedient? It says, whereunto also they were appointed.
Yeah.
Notice how particular Peter doesn't say, although I think there's a sense in which we can say it's true. Peter doesn't talk about their appointment being to damnation, to hell, or the lake of fire. It's to their very disobedience. Right? That's the nearest antecedent statement. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
Now, I will stop reading there for now. What I want to try to talk to you about this morning, and maybe for several Sunday mornings, Lord willing, is the praises of Christ. Think of the marvel of this. Think of the glorious grace which it took to make these statements valid. Make these statements valid. But ye, or that says but. Why? Because, remember, we were called out of what? Darkness.
Yeah.
But ye are. That's as in opposition to these other people, right? They're disobedient. The builders even disallowed. That actually means to belittle.
Yeah.
They counted it as nothing. Not disallowed doesn't mean they simply ignored Christ. That's not the point. They belittled Christ. They counted him as nothing. This is what they did. But look at us. Think of the grace. But ye are a chosen generation.
Yes, sir.
A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, which he has stated over. It's basically stating it again. He says in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood. I have a hard time thinking of myself as either.
Exactly.
Holy or being a part of a priesthood.
Exactly.
That's a high calling.
Yeah.
Spiritual house. A holy priesthood. And then it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God.
Exactly.
Think of that. The marvel of the grace which made these statements valid.
Yes.
But what reason was there in God for doing this? What reason?
Yeah.
Why would God do something like that? The world generally thinks of it along the lines of some human attribute. And there is a sense in which this is true of God. God does pity his creatures. But most people think God saves people, that there is this thing of salvation because God feels sorry for mankind. And that's not what Peter says here, is it?
Exactly.
Peter says you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, and we may, Lord willing, look at that in detail later, but not this morning. But why? That ye should show forth what? The praises of him. God saves humanity. If God saves anybody, he's saving that person or persons because he's pleased to glorify himself.
Amen.
That's Amen. Right.
Yeah.
That's why. God didn't save anybody simply because he pitied us.
Exactly.
No, it's not about pity. God didn't save us simply so that we could go to heaven and miss hell.
That's right.
God would have been perfectly glorified in sending us all to hell. His wrath would have been perfectly honored.
Yes, sir.
His justice would have been perfectly honored had he sent all humanity to hell.
Yes, sir.
This is not something that Peter alone believed. Look at what Paul said about it in Ephesians chapter 1. And of course, you realize, those who are here this morning realize that the Ephesians chapter 1 is talking about this same kind of salvation. That's how it begins, right? In the first few verses, right? Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then I ask the question, but for what reason?
Yeah.
And he answers that, to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Amen.
The only reason anybody is being saved is because God was pleased to what? Glorify his own grace. He could have purposed to leave it silent.
Yeah.
Could he not? God was perfectly whole and complete before he ever created humanity. Was he not? And God was still perfect and complete when humanity fell.
Yes,
was he not? We did not diminish the character of God one iota when we rebelled against God in our daddy Adam. But God was pleased to manifest and glorify himself in his grace. He goes on. Look at it again. What is it? Verse 12. He says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Again, in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that is this being sealed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I am saying that the scripture declares that God Almighty is self-centered.
Yes, sir.
And he has the right to be.
Exactly.
It's all about him. Yep. And he has the right. It is right to be all about him.
Amen.
He is the only being who has the right to be self-centered. Mm-hmm. And it is all about God. Listen again to what Paul said to the Philippians. And you know this, I mean, most of us are probably quite familiar with the one verse there, where, you know, Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But why does God do this? You know? Why does God insist on persisting concerning us? Do you understand? Why does he insist on persisting concerning? Why is it that when we stumble and fall and miserably fall and often rebelliously fall, why didn't God just say, well, I'll let them go?
Exactly.
Why? Look, Paul actually gives the answer in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, how? For what reason? Unto the glory and praise of God. It's all about God. Had God not been pleased to glorify himself in his grace, we all would perish.
Yes, sir.
There would be no hope for any of humanity.
Exactly.
So now, let me go back to the text here. 1 Peter chapter 1. But how is it that God Almighty is pleased to do this? Now, there will come a day when the scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And one translation gives it this way, every tongue shall swear that Jesus Christ is Lord. For what reason?
Yeah.
To the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Now that is true. One day all men will be made to know that what we're preaching in this place, the gospel we preach, is the truth. They'll be made to know that. But it's not something that is simply hidden and not to be mentioned until that time. We have been given the grand and glorious privilege of what? Showing forth his praises.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah. That's why God didn't save us so that we might just simply get something out of it. God saved us so that we might show forth his praises.
Amen.
Isn't that what this says? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Why did God do this for us? That we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has purposed that we honor him.
Yes, sir.
That we sound. And listen, the primary way of, and I'm not even going to go into this, I'm not going to sit and debate about this, I'm not even going to give a lot of scripture, actually any scripture, before this, it's simply something we could talk about later, but the primary way in which we do this is with our mouths.
Yeah.
With our mouths. Because if you try to do it with your actions,
you
will miserably fail.
Yeah.
And Joe mentioned it, but I'll say it again. There are those who say, let people see Jesus in your life. They didn't even see Jesus in Jesus' own life.
Exactly.
How ridiculous it is for me to think that someone could see Jesus in my life.
Exactly.
With all of its faults and failures and sins.
Yes, sir.
No, no. But God has given us both the ability and the privilege of declaring, showing forth his praises.
Yes, sir.
If you know God, you can tell the truth about God.
Yes, sir.
Because all you got to do is tell what the book says.
That's it.
You don't even, you know, well, I wish I could explain the scripture better. I understand your dilemma. I understand your feeling. But we don't have to explain it. All you got to do is read it.
Yeah.
You see? It's good enough for itself.
Yes, sir.
It's good enough for itself. So then, it is this fact that these grand and glorious things that are stated about us are not simply for us, but it's so that we might show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As I began to think about this, I thought of this word. Well, if I'm supposed to show forth his praises, I ought to have an idea what that means. Right? His praises. Now, if you translated this word literally, just what it actually means, it means this: manliness. Manliness. Now, I've got to say this. I think most here will know this, but maybe not. I don't know. But there are other people who get these messages. Manliness. If you just literally translated this word, praises, it means manliness.
Yeah.
That's what it means in the Greek. Now, most people, especially men, women know better. At least most of them do. There are men who think manliness is being tough.
Oh, yeah.
And I can whip just about anybody. Now, there's a couple things you can't whip, and that's called a 357, moving probably about 1,200 feet per second, that piece of lead. But nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying. There are many people, many men, who think manliness is being tough. I can whip anybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what this is talking about. There's a lot of men out there that have that kind of manliness, but they don't have this kind of manliness. This word manliness means, and I think you'll know this word, it means valor.
Yes.
You can be one of the puniest individuals that ever walked but still have valor.
That's right.
You can be one of the weakest, physically weakest men that ever walked, but you can still be a man.
Yes, sir.
And have manliness, to have valor. These things imply what? Even in the human, courage,
yes,
under
sir.
Fire. Right? Now we all got courage when everything's going good. Right?
Yeah.
Valor is not a great virtue when everything's going smooth. Valor is of value when things go bad.
Right?
Right? When there's a negative thing going on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying valor has no benefit, but that's when you really see valor manifested. You see, everybody thinks that everything about Christ is positive. It is as intrinsic in him.
Yes, sir.
But not always as is determined by the purpose of God. Look at the illustration. To whom coming as unto a living stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disallowed indeed of men.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, men will belittle him. They have belittled him. And they still belittle him.
Yes, sir.
It is the stone which the builders, what? Disallowed. And they disallowed him because God Almighty said they would.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a prophecy. That this would happen. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
A lot of people think it was coincidence.
Yeah.
Don't they? It's just one of those things that kind of happened. It's kind of that accidental providence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as accidental providence.
Amen.
Providence and the word providence and the word accident cannot be set together. Providence comes from the sovereign purpose of God, or it wouldn't be providence.
Exactly.
It would be accident. There is, those two things don't go together. No, we are to show forth the what? The valor. The valor. But what does it actually mean here concerning Christ? Now, this is an explanation that some people have given, and it's a good one according to the preponderant testimony of Scripture. Here's what it is. It is intrinsic excellence or virtue. Okay? Intrinsic excellence or virtue. In other words, a person's renowned excellencies.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean everyone's going to see this. To whom coming as unto a living stone,
yeah,
disallowed indeed of men,
yes, sir,
but chosen of God and precious. You see, not everyone sees the praises of God, even when you show forth the praises of God.
You're right.
Because there are going to be those that when you and I show forth the praises of God, they're going to what? Disallow it.
Yes, sir.
They're going to belittle it.
Yeah.
And you know, it is amazing that religion will take things that are humanistic, things that are earthy, and try to ascribe them to Christ as valor, and then, in turn, hear the truth of who Christ truly is in his valor, and they will belittle it.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Exactly right.
Part of his valor is this, that the world hates him.
Yes, sir.
That's part of his valor.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because God ordained it so. Look, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious.
Yeah.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. What? They what? Belittled.
Yes, sir.
Now let me say, none of us are builders today. There are no builders today. The builders were the Jewish leaders, and they belittled him. Okay? But let me tell you, men still belittle him today, nevertheless. Okay?
Well,
unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Who made him the head of the corner?
Yeah.
God did.
Yes, sir.
And what else? And a stone of what?
Yeah.
Stumbling. You see, it is meant that some men stumble at Christ.
Yes, sir.
Here we have the indication they trip at him. They trip over him because they ignore him.
Yeah.
Some people belittle him. Some people ignore him. But that's not all. What? A stone of stumbling and what? A rock of offense.
Amen.
This is what God has determined that he be.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, I don't preach circumcision. The reason I don't is because if I did, then would the offense of the cross what? Cease. And Paul is saying that's the negative side, Joe. What he's basically saying is I refuse to preach human effort in this thing because the gospel is meant to be offensive to humanity.
Yes, sir.
It's meant to be.
That's it.
That's what makes you hate yourself when God does regenerate and convert you.
Yeah.
It's because God says that's how bad you are.
Amen.
That you would belittle Christ. Amen. That you would ignore Christ. Or that you would be offended in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And as I've said before, Christ in God in Christ is to be honored even if I still have to go to hell.
Amen.
If my final end is the lake of fire, God still deserves to be honored.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see?
That's it.
Most people think, you know, God sends people to hell just because he's got no other choice.
Yeah.
God could obliterate humanity.
Yes, sir.
And you obliterate the spirit and obliterate the soul, could he not?
Yes, sir.
He created it. It is not an eternal thing in and of itself, was it? It didn't exist before.
No, that's right.
God made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living soul, and God could take that away just as easy as he gave it.
Yes, sir.
But he purposed not to,
exactly.
Didn't he? He purposed not to. No, God has been pleased to show forth an eternal wrath against sin. Why must men suffer eternally? Not because sin is eternal. Sin is temporal.
That's right.
You know that? Sin's temporal. But the reason men must suffer, and I will say everlastingly, I said eternally, I think a better word here would be everlastingly.
Yeah.
The reason is because God is an eternal God who is everlastingly offended at a temporal sin.
Yes, sir.
Men will suffer forever because God is forever offended. You see, hell's not meant to somehow satisfy God's wrath. It's meant to manifest God's wrath.
Yes, sir.
If hell to the lake of fire could satisfy God's wrath, purgatory would be true. You would suffer for so long and then be released. But men and women will not be released because God is eternally offended. Eternally offended.
That's it.
We have been saved. And these grand and glorious things are declared about us so that we could glorify Him.
Yeah. mine.
That's what it's for. That we would show forth his excellencies. What a privilege for anyone, not just me. It is easy for me to stand here and preach to you. You know why? Because you're my family. You believe the same Christ I believe. You hold to the same Christ I hold to. The hard thing is for you and I is we go out, when we go out there into the midst of the world and try to show forth his excellencies.
Yes, sir.
Because when you do, they will turn on the messenger.
Oh, yeah.
Won't they?
Yes, sir.
They can't get to God, but they'll try to get to you. Just try, give it a try and you'll find out. Just give it a try and find out. What a privilege for anyone to be allowed to show forth Christ's excellencies. Right? That's a privilege. Now, I want us to take note of just a few of these renowned excellencies. Peter mentions a couple of them. So that's what I'll deal with. And I'll just slowly take our go through these things slowly. And there will be more that we will look at, but this will not be exhaustive. Because I could begin here and start speaking about the praises, the what? The valor, the intrinsic excellence or virtue, the excellencies of Jesus Christ from now until the day I die, and I will not have exhausted the subject.
That's right.
You understand that. You know that. So this is not meant to be exhaustive. And if I leave one out, it's not because I don't think it's important.
Yeah.
It's one, I don't have enough time to cover them all, and I'm not smart enough to know them all.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a few that you can see. First of all, and this is in no certain order, but it is in the order in which Peter mentions it. First of all, Peter mentions one of these renowned excellencies. It is called graciousness. Right? That, we've read that part. Look at it, verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted. Now that has an if with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the last part is not an if. Okay?
Yeah.
Look. Tasted what? That the Lord is gracious. Now he's gracious whether you and I have tasted it or not.
Amen. That's it.
He is gracious even if none of us ever experienced that grace.
Amen.
He is still gracious.
Yes.
God didn't become gracious by saving us. We're saved because he what? He is gracious.
Amen.
We're saved because he was pleased to manifest that graciousness.
Yeah.
He didn't become gracious by saving us. But that's the way many people think of it. Well, that's not an excellency. Common men can do that, can't they? Save another person from this or that thing. For what? What do they usually do it for?
Yeah.
For their own personal gain. Somebody said, well, that's what God's doing. But God's got the right to.
Exactly.
He's the creator. There's another one of his excellencies, but we'll look at that later, Lord willing. In other words, if so be that ye have tasted, here's one, that the Lord is gracious. Now somebody said, well, let's talk about God the Father. Well, okay. Let's talk about God the Son. Well, okay. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost. Well, okay. Because these three are one.
Yeah.
This is the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. But it is housed within the person of the Son. It's housed within the person of the Son. Think of it, gracious. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, most people know how to define that. I say most. I don't know that. A lot of people know how to define that. You probably know this part right here. Unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. Right? You understand? You probably heard that. I have heard that since I was a little tyke. I heard that in a place that didn't really believe it, yet they said that was the explanation. They said it was unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. And it is.
Yes, sir.
It definitely is. That is what it means. Listen, if you can earn it, it ain't grace.
Amen. Exactly.
Kind of like Tim James said about mercy. And let me just give you this. He said, most people think of mercy as something that God's obliged to give when you ask for it. And he gave this illustration, which is a very good illustration. If I offend you, would you like it if I come up to you and said, I'm going to let you show mercy to me?
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I'm pretty stupid, but I ain't that stupid. If I've offended you, I know I need to ask you to forgive me, not say I'm going to let you do it. But this is what most people think about God's mercy and God's grace. Well, we'll let him be gracious. You don't let God be anything.
Exactly.
He is. And he says, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And in the context to which that's said, that includes his grace. But you know that there's a passage. Let me tell you, when it comes to God's grace, our character has nothing to do with it. You understand that, right? That is, God is gracious because he's gracious. Okay? But God doesn't show grace to anybody because of their character. As a matter of fact, according to Scripture, it would teach this. God shows grace in spite of our character.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
In spite of it. Not in light of it, but in spite of it. You know the passage, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. You see, the same spirit that motivates people who were appointed to disobedience is the same spirit that operated in you and I by nature.
Yes, sir.
The only thing that made a difference between us and them is God did not appoint us to wrath or to stay in that disobedience. He appointed us to what? Mercy.
Yes,
mercy. Children of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our way of life, our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else.
Yes,
he said, even as others. Even as. Okay? Even as. It's not just like, but as. You see, by nature, we're all the same.
Exactly.
Therefore, when it goes down there and says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. And most people think, well, see, right there it tells you it's unearned, undeserved, unmerited. No, that's just the word used.
Yeah.
There is no explanation yet until the next part. For by grace are you saved through faith. And what? And that not of yourselves.
Yeah.
Now notice, it's in spite of our character, because what was our character? It was opposed to God. It was actually against. God should not have shown us grace. If we got what we deserved, we'd get what? Wrath and judgment. For by grace are you saved through faith, but what? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So that, no, well, not of works. Lest any man should boast. So, not only is this grace unearned, undeserved, unmerited, but it's given in spite of our character, right? And not according to our efforts.
Yeah.
Because the idea is, well, yes, we all are, we're all bad, but we need to do better. And if we just at least try to do better, God will show you grace. That's not how it comes, is it?
Exactly.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And I'm not going into the details of the Greek, but it clearly teaches that the salvation and the grace and the faith are all a gift of God.
Amen.
That's the way the Greek is structured in the grammar.
Amen.
Me telling you the details, you check it out for yourself. You'll see this is true. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that. What is that? That, the grace, the salvation, the faith. All three. None of it is of yourself. It is a gift of God. It has nothing to do with your effort. So I don't care how much better you do than verses 2 and 3. It doesn't matter how much better you can try to rise above that. You cannot rise far enough above that to gain or demand God's grace.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
Not your character. Your character or efforts does not matter. Isn't that what that says? That whole, right there. That chapter. That first part of that chapter says, your my character, your character, my efforts, your efforts, does not make the difference.
Exactly.
Does it? Doesn't make the difference. Let me tell you, that's one of God's excellencies.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. There are people who don't like that. They disallow that.
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because actually, they think far better of themselves than they ought to.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And that's true of me, too. I often still think far better of myself than I ought to.
Yeah.
Don't you? But in truth, I know. I forget sometimes, Joe. Oh. But I know by the works of the law, by my own efforts, I shall not be justified in God's sight.
Amen. That's right.
You can quit doing everything that you ought not to do, and it's still not enough to get God to give you grace.
Amen.
That's it.
It's not enough. It's not enough. I mean, you know the passage. I mean, and somebody says you quote these over and over again because it's still in the Bible. It's still the truth. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Exactly.
Now, no matter what I think about them, God says that's what He thinks about them.
Exactly.
My best deeds are as a thing a woman has to use every month.
That's it.
It's filthy rags in God's sight. That's tough language, but that's the excellency of God's grace.
Yes, sir.
But there's another element to this grace. And it seems like the more you build upon the valor of Christ, the more men belittle it.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
That? Well, there are a lot of people who say, well, I believe it doesn't have anything to do with your character or your efforts.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they? Until you take it till its ultimate end.
Yeah.
God's grace is discriminating.
Yes, sir.
And I like to say it that way because it just makes it sound that much tougher.
Exactly. That's it.
Some people say it's particular. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is particular.
Yes, sir.
But if you're going to be particular, you got to discriminate.
That's exactly right.
Now, you and I know that in our day and age, and I'm not going to preach on political correctness or politics completely. You and I know we live in a day and age in which the word discrimination is a no-no word.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't discriminate. Well, there are some things in this life you ought not discriminate about.
Yes, sir.
But each and every one of us discriminates about things every day of our life. We choose one thing over another.
Amen.
Don't we? Mm-hmm. We pick this over that. And sometimes it's true. Whether it's right or not, I'm not going to debate that. We'll pick the lesser of the two evils, won't we? But one way or another, we're doing what? We're discriminating. We're saying one thing's worse than the other, and I'm going to try to take the best. We pick that with our cereal, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, it's not wrong to discriminate about cereal. Yet.
Yeah.
See, I could get into politics. Yet. The government, one of these days, is going to tell you what kind of cereal to eat. Don't you kid yourself. That's the way it's trying to go with some folk. They'll say it's wrong to discriminate unless it's us doing the discriminating.
Exactly.
That's what part a lot of our government's doing today. Discrimination's wrong for you common folk. Let us who are in charge do the discriminating.
Oh, yeah.
They're hypocrites is what they are. They gag at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Now, enough about the politics. It's still true, though, and you know what I'm saying is the truth. God's grace is discriminating.
Yes,
look at what the book says about it. Romans chapter 11. Now, you see, this is what God says about Himself. This is God defining His own excellencies. And that's the only reason, Mac, that I can be assured that when I say this, I am showing forth His excellencies.
Exactly.
It's because God's already said it about Himself. I'm just repeating it.
That's it.
I didn't come up with this. Look at what Paul says, and the time's about gone, but look at verse chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away His people? And what's it? Is God done with the Jews?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Is God done with the Jews? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew.
Amen.
The ones He foreknew, no, they're not cast away.
Exactly.
What ye not? What the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life.
Yes, sir.
Poor Elias.
Yeah.
He was having a rough way to go. Let me tell you something, he was having a rough way
yes,
to go.
Sir, he was.
And bless your heart, if you ever have to be put in the place where Elias was, you'd probably be crying that too.
Yep.
I thought I was there one time. I realized I wasn't nowhere where I thought I had it rough. I didn't have it rough. Lord, they've killed your prophets. They've digged down thine altars. And they had.
Yeah.
And I'm left alone. As far as he knew, he didn't know of anybody else. And when you don't know of anybody else, how many other people do you have?
Exactly.
None.
Exactly.
Now, God had some.
Yeah.
But Elias didn't have none, did he?
Exactly.
I'm left alone, and they seek my life. And they did.
Yes, sir.
But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now the question then automatically comes up, well then why? How did this, where did these 7,000 come from?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
They were evidently hidden away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They weren't out like Elias, sounding forth the praises of him who had called him out of darkness into light, had they? They weren't there. They're not revealed out giving testimony of it, Joe. But God says, I have them. What? Look, even so then at this present time. Now what Paul's saying, just like it was back then, it's the same way it is today. And I will add to that, just like it was back then, and just like it was in Paul's day, it's the same way today.
Yes, sir.
Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to what? The election of what?
Grace.
Grace.
Amen.
So that means your character didn't have nothing to do with it, and your efforts didn't have nothing to do with the election.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
Because it's the election of what?
Grace.
Amen. It's defined as the election of what? Grace. And then for Paul, it's like, that's not enough, though.
Yeah.
Just so, there is no valid reason. Now, men will belittle it.
Oh, yeah.
They will trip over it. They will ignore it. They will be offended by it. But there is no valid reason for it. Look at what he says. And if by grace, then it is no more of effort.
Yeah.
You could use that same word there.
Oh, yeah.
Most people think of works. They think of singing in the choir, teaching a Sunday school, witnessing for the Lord. That's true. Those are works. But so is everything else. Feeding the poor.
Yeah.
Trying to live right. That's an effort, right?
Yeah.
Even so then, it said, and if by grace then it's no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. And what's he talking about? The election. The election had nothing to do with any effort you made. God didn't reserve 7,000 because they would preach. He had reserved 7,000 to preach.
Amen.
That's right.
That's the truth. Now they had not bowed, but it didn't say, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men because they have not bowed. The reason they had not bowed is because God had purpose for them not to bow.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto him.
Amen.
You see, it's not enough to believe grace is merely unearned, undeserved, and unmerited. You've got to believe that grace has to do with election.
Yes, sir.
Or you're not truly sounding forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
Now somebody says, well, that's just kind of your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. And it's not even my translation of it, because Paul's already set the stage for this election in chapter 9, hadn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now look at what he says. Chapter 9, verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. You see, a lot of people think, well, you're saying God chose all the wicked ones. No, we are all the wicked ones. He didn't choose just the wicked ones. We're all the wicked ones. The whole point is, the children having done, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. There you have both the time and the lack of cause.
Exactly.
You see it? Some try to suggest that the having done neither good or evil is simply talking about the time when God did what he was doing here. Okay, no. He's already said, being not yet born. That's the time, right? neither having, neither, I'm adding to that, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to what? To election might stand. Not of works. So the election is according to God's purpose and has nothing to do with any effort of man, good or evil. Right? Exactly. Either way.
Exactly.
The good or the evil is had nothing to do with the purpose of God according to election, did it?
Exactly.
Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. That means exactly what it sounds like.
Yes, sir.
God loved Jacob, therefore he chose Jacob neither have before he was born and neither having done any good or evil. Well, God chose the evil one. No, both of them were evil.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Jacob and Esau both were evil. And you and I, we're all evil.
Exactly.
And at our best state, we're all together what? Even at our best state, we're all together vanity.
Yeah.
No, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Well, is God unrighteous? Is God unfair? What is Paul's answer? God forbid. Because he said to Moses, this is what God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
That's just who God is.
Exactly.
And we have to add, and whom I will, I'll harden.
Amen.
That's just as true as the other part.
Yes, sir.
The other side of the coin, if you will. Let me say again, this is one of the excellencies of our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Is it not?
That's right.
Well, I believe in the Lord, but I don't believe that. Then you don't believe in His excellencies.
Exactly.
Evidently, He hadn't called you out of darkness yet into His marvelous light. Because if you was in the light, you would see.
Exactly.
The very fact that you cannot bow to that lets me know you're still where? At least still in darkness.
Yep.
Pray God you're not what? One of those that it was appointed to be such.
Exactly.
Huh? That's what your appointment is. Kind of like Paul told them, do you remember what Paul told them Jews? I'm warning you. You better hope that this ain't true of you.
Yeah.
That you ain't going to believe this truth even though a man declares it unto you. Why? Because God said that's the way it's going to be.
Exactly.
You see, what God's people love about God is what the world hates about God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. What we see, because it's what it is, as the excellencies of God, they see it as rubbish. They what? Belittle it. They disallow it.
Oh, yeah.
Or they ignore it. Or they what? Are offended by it.
Yes, sir.
Right there, those three things sum up every human being on the face of this earth outside of Jesus Christ. And they have either one or more of those three things.
Oh, yeah.
They belittle Him, that is, they disallow Him. He is a stumbling stone, that is, they trip over Him because they ignore Him. Or He is a rock of offense. They are angered at who He really is.
Yes,
now some people have never been angered at who He really is because they've never heard who He really is.
Yep.
But when you tell them, usually you know what will happen?
Yeah.
You'll see that anger come out.
Well,
but while they see Him that way, what did Peter say about us? Now let me turn back to it again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of that or not? Now, if you're ashamed of it, I don't care how much you claim to believe it, you don't.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. It's not me being mean. That's me not trying to shut people out. That's God shutting people out.
Exactly.
Because he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed of you.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to be ashamed of Christ.
Exactly.
You may be ashamed of me at times, but you won't be and have no reason to be ashamed of Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
And why would you? Because the world hates Him.
Yes, sir.
That's why. But look at what else. Unto you therefore which believe, He is what?
Yeah.
Precious. Precious. Now I've got to give you this. I know I've went over about few minutes of your time was precious. Literally, this means a valuing. It's talking about valuables. In other words, like a price paid for something or a price received for something. It's the money that you would offer to someone for something. The valuable thing that you would give a person for that thing or this thing or that this or that thing. In other words, we value Christ. One person put it this way, and I like it. I believe this is an excellent definition to the fact that he is precious. It is his inestimable value.
Yes, sir.
Because you're not able to even put a price on Jesus Christ. Amen. As to how valuable he really is.
Exactly.
It is indescribable. And in several ways, and God willing, we'll have to look at that next Sunday. One of the ways is this, in God's estimation of him. It says that God placed all the preeminence in him.
Yes, sir.
That is, the Father placed all the preeminence in him. Secondly, God is not honored apart from Christ. You cannot honor God if you do not honor Christ.
Amen.
It just does. But I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you help others. I don't care how much you talk about how great God is. You belittle Christ. Or you stumble over Christ. You trip over Christ. Or you're offended by Christ. I don't care what you do. You do not honor God unless you honor Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thirdly, spiritual life rests in Christ. There is no spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Fourthly, spiritual faith has Christ as its object.
Yes.
I don't care if you believe in election. Do you see Jesus Christ as what? Precious.
Yeah. Amen.
Precious. And thirdly, Christ is mediator. What does he say? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, how? By Jesus Christ. Let me say, there is but one mediator between God and men. Are we to pray for one another? Yeah. But you know what? We don't pray for one another trying to get God to do something for one another.
Exactly.
And there are people, there's even people who've been in this assembly, that's made professions of faith, that's been baptized as a member of this assembly, and then thinks that by their prayers, God Almighty is blessing other people. That's not, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't pray to God to get God to bless other people. We pray to God because unless God does it, it won't be done.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray, our prayers to God is not to get him to do anything, but to rely upon confessing to him that unless he does it, it won't get done.
That's
why you pray to God. Are we to intercede for one another? Yeah, but we cannot mediate for one another.
Exactly.
You can't do it. Christ is, that's his inestimable value. He's the only mediator. Therefore, when you're in trouble, who should you run to? Now, we don't always. Sometimes we run to this one, run to that one. Run here, run there, don't we? Where should we run to when we're in trouble? When you need anything, where should you run to? We ought to run to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we part our separate ways, that you, in that special way in which you've promised to us, that you be with us in that special way, that we may be, first of all, mindful of you and the person of your Son, and be mindful of one another, that we might pray for one another, that we might encourage one another, we might, in that way that it's possible, to give one another hope and comfort, and consideration. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.